You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe. I'm here with John again tonight, and we are going to be talking about moving from Marvel's Phase 2 into Phase 3. Phase 2, of course, starts with Iron Man 3 and goes through Ant-Man, which is coming out this end of this week. And then the next phase is where we've got we're going to be introducing a lot of new characters, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, and whatnot. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about some news, including some stuff from Comic-Con. So how you doing, John?
I'm doing pretty well. It's, it was an interesting weekend. It's going to be a good start to the week, so I'm ready and raring to go.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, I've been, of course, along with everybody else, watching all the videos and everything coming out of Comic-Con. And, you know, I like conventions, but man, that convention is big. That's a lot of people.
I know. I think it was, number 5 or 7 in size? Just something ridiculous of all the ones in the world?
Right, right. I would love to go there. I love the toys that they have that are exclusives there that, you know, that you can't get anywhere else. Or if you do, you end up paying like 5 times as much. But
yeah, the ones that you have to stand in line for the lottery for the possibility to win the ticket to buy the thing.
Yeah, that's just nuts. But we do have a fair bit of news that has come out of there. So what do you want to start with? Agent Carter news?
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
Obviously, we've heard in the past few weeks that just about everybody is coming back, except for, of course, Dooley, because he died.
Right.
But, you know, I'm trying to remember his name, the actor that plays him.
Chad Michael Murray?
Chad Michael Murray is coming back as Thompson. Enver's coming back as, I'm having a horrible time in names
That's
tonight.
That's fine.
As Sousa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course we obviously knew Haley Atwell was coming back. Darcy's coming back as Jarvis. And according to what they were saying in the panel, there's going to be a good reason for him to already be out in L.A. when she comes out there to meet him.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like we're even going to have Howard, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's just going to be a guest star, you know, for some episodes, kind of like he was this year, because he's got his own series going on now, so.
And he was only in about half of them to begin
right,
with.
Right.
And almost never as a major player, except for 2 or 3 episodes.
Right. Right. Any word on Lindsay Finesca that plays her waitress buddy?
Nothing yet.
Okay.
I think she is the only person that...
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about her. And the thing is, it seems like of all the characters, if they're going out to Hollywood, it seems like she would be the one character that would make the most sense to be out there.
Right, since she wants to be an actress.
And, exactly.
You know, we end the first season with them... with Howard basically giving them a penthouse.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, alrighty. And they've got, they've mentioned, and we'd heard this before, I know, that they're going to 10 episodes instead
right.
of 8, which is good.
Yes.
I think that was about it for news, although there's a bit of a war going on right now between her and James Darcy against the S.H.I.E.L.D. crew.
Yeah, and... It seemed to start. It was started by
Chloe and Clark.
Yeah, is it Ben? Yeah, it was started by Chloe Bennett and Clark Gregg, and apparently this has supposedly Haley Atwell's new favorite thing. on the internet is Dub Smash, where you basically record a quick little video of yourself lip syncing to another song.
Yep.
So they fire, Chloe and Clark fired the first shots at her, and she and James responded a couple of times, I think, with Oompa Loompa, and I forget the other song. But, you know, it was like for a while it looked like James and Haley had just flat out won, and there was no response from Clark and Chloe. And then then we got a big one of just about everybody from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast singing We Are the Champions.
Yep.
And it polished off with Clark wearing Haley's Agent Carter outfit.
With lipstick and everything. Yeah.
Yes, lipstick, the hat, the whole nine yards.
Yep.
So I'm never, ever, ever going to challenge Clark Gregg to anything because he will go all out to win.
Yeah, yeah, he was, I mean, it's just been hilarious. I mean, it's just fun to see people, you know, people that are famous, you know, goofing around like regular people.
And, you know, it's not even over because we got another one after that with James and Haley and Clark and Chloe where they're singing Taylor Swift's Bad Blood.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I actually downloaded that app this morning, and of course I'm in dress rehearsal hell right now for the play that I'm working on, and sent something out to my cast of me with, you know, horrible first thing in the morning bedhead singing something. So just to kind of test it out, see if it worked. So,
yeah, I haven't tested it out myself yet, although apparently I'm now told that I'm going to have to borrow somebody's Agent Carter outfit. you know, as a part of my Agent Coulson cosplay, and I'm tempted to say, look, I'm cosplaying Coulson, I'm not cosplaying Clark.
Right. True, yeah.
I don't even have the right glasses.
We'll see how it goes. Maybe if the fans are good, maybe we'll record one with the two of us at Dragon Con and post it. So maybe we'll see.
And you know, we did get some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news. I mean, not a ton of new interesting things, but one thing we did find out is that we are going to be privy to a new Inhuman in the next season, and his name is Lash, and he comes from the newer Inhumans comics.
Okay, so he's an established character,
right?
Okay,
and he is a villain in the comics. And he's the kind of villain where, you know, in the Marvel Universe, the Terrigen Bomb got released and all these people got turned into Inhumans, whether they wanted to be or not. Which is kind of how we left off at the end of...
Kind of like the fish oil thing
exactly.
That was going on, yeah.
And apparently Lash's MO is that he doesn't feel that everybody who went through Terrigenesis deserved it. And so what that means, whether he's going to be going around killing Inhumans that he doesn't think are worthy, could be something that Sky and her secret warriors have to fight against.
Yeah, that would definitely make sense. And it's interesting because, you know, I think they work best when they've got a couple of different plot lines going on at the same time,
right.
So that it's not just, you know, the same thing. And I'm really looking forward to having Ward as a villain, but I think having that as another plot line going would be great, definitely. Yeah, I just all the things about, you know, when they're talking about Ward and all the Hydra people that have been killed off and everything. Again, because I have it on the brain. Of course, we live in Georgia, and I live in Georgia, and the people that I'm doing the play with were trying very hard, because it's a musical, it's Once Upon a Mattress, to not make sure nobody gets dehydrated, because it is super, super hot out. And so I've started posting Hail Hydrate memes on things. so we'll see how it goes with Ward and his attempts to reconstitute Hydra in some form.
And, you know, even though we didn't see much of a presence from Netflix at Comic-Con, we still have, there's been a great number of news coming out about their series.
Right.
We had the first stills, Jessica Jones, that clearly show Luke Cage on fire.
Yes,
uh-huh. And they have a bar, and I actually know the bar that they filmed at.
Oh wow, is it in New York?
Or? Yeah, it's I want to say it's I think the name is Vazex mm-hmm. Horseshoe. Mm-hmm. It is it's there on the corner of East 7th and Avenue B. Mm-hmm. And it's right there across from Tompkins Square Park. I've actually been in it once or twice, and it's if you ever watch Crocodile Dundee.
Okay.
It's the same bar where he gets a transgender woman tries to flirt with him.
Right, right, right.
And he doesn't obviously doesn't know about these things coming from the bush.
Right, right.
So it's the same bar from that movie,
That's cool.
It's being used in this series. And my uncle was in East Village, and they like to do a lot of filming around those neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And we've also got John Bernthal. We've seen the first images of him as the Punisher now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't look particularly impressive. It was just kind of him, but but yeah. And we had another bit of casting news for that.
Yes, indeed.
I'm trying to remember what her name is. Is it Elodie Young?
Mm-hmm. Elodie Young, yes. If you saw G.I. Joe Retaliation...
I gotta say I missed that one.
Well, for those of us G.I. Joe nerds who saw it and had mixed feelings about it, she was Jinx, who was another character kind of came in later in the cartoon series and the comics. Mm-hmm. As almost like a student for Snake Eyes.
Okay.
But, yes, she's going to be playing Elektra, mm-hmm. Who we got a little teaser of back in the kind of the flashbacks of Foggy and Matt mm-hmm. when they were in law school. Mm-hmm. So we get to see her fully, and, Netflix released a teaser image of the front of the newspaper, The Devil of Hell's Kitchen, with
right.
one of Elektra's sighs stabbing it to a brick wall.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
So, it looks like Matt is going to have quite a lot on his plate as far as antagonists this mm-hmm. season. Between the Punisher, and if we find some casting news on Bullseye, mm-hmm. him as well.
Very possibly, yeah. And they've started filming, so, I mean, they're definitely obviously they've got Jessica Jones coming out. Are they going to be doing Luke Cage and what was the other one? Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
Are they putting all of those out before they do the season two of Daredevil?
I don't know. At this rate, filming of Luke Cage, it looks like we're going to get Daredevil season two before Luke Cage season one.
Yeah, I mean, unless they film it and then just sit on it for a year. It would seem like they, if they're going to do it as soon as it's ready, it seems like that would come out sooner. But yeah, it'll be cool no matter what, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah.
What else we got going on here?
We've had as far as movies go, we've had trailer TV spots essentially spoil a major part of the film now.
Yes, that is true.
Although it was rumored and Anthony Mackie was already on the poster, mm-hmm. seems like he and Scott certainly end up having their meeting at some point in the film. Although we don't know yet whether that's one of the teasers or one of the cutscenes.
Post-credit scenes or something. Yeah. I mean, because it's basically somebody's like, dude, there's someone from the Avengers looking for you or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I've been really excited about in the last week or so is they've had some little like webisode kind of things with Christine Everhart, who is of course the reporter from Iron Man.
And, yeah, she made the jump from Vanity Fair to Network News.
Exactly, and they've put out some pretty cool little fake CNN news reports, and they've referenced the destruction in Sokovia. Her big thing was that she was going to be doing an interview with Scott.
Yep, so. And, when they were talking about the destruction of Sokovia, mm-hmm. it's a little bit of a teaser for Civil War, and some of the, she mentions the nations of the world want some accountability for the Avengers.
Right, exactly. And that particular little clip that they posted is just so layered, because they've got things like they've got a news crawl going across the bottom of the screen. Right. And other than drought in California, which I don't think references anything, all of the things on there were references to different things in movies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites was the stuff about a quote-unquote earthquake in Africa, which appears to mm-hmm. be what they're using for the cover story of what happened when Hulk destroyed all this stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. And something that just tickled me to death was that it's up on YouTube. And at first I thought, okay, well, this must be Marvel made up a bunch of dummy accounts to start a conversation going. But I think it's almost all just stuff from fans, where fans are responding like in character to stuff.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen that also recently with Jurassic World. Jurassic World's marketing has been treating the whole incident in the film as if it was real.
Right.
And if,
right.
you know, like trying to do damage control on Isla Nublar.
Right, right, exactly.
So it could be the thing that we're starting to see in these films, whether it's Marvel, whether it's Jurassic World, whether it's mm-hmm. whoever, of this participation between the studios and the audience.
Exactly. And that's something I'm like super into that. For many years I was a live role playing game designer, and I've always been interested in multimedia storytelling and ways that you can take it from just a passive experience of mm-hmm. watching something on the screen to being more involved and getting people invested in it. And I think what they're doing with that is just super cool, and it's been, you know, it's well produced. They're obviously putting a lot of thought into it. You know, I would love to go back to seeing more one shots, but at the same time, I know that they're not cheap to put out. Right. And you know, if we can have more things like these news reports that you know, give us little touchbacks to things that have already happened in the world and teasers for things that are still to come.
And it's always possible that we can still get one shots down the line. I mean, Kevin Feige has said that he misses them. So
he said he misses them. Yeah. But not that they're coming back. So
yeah. So well, if you miss them so much, Kevin, you're the guy who's got
yeah, you
the ability
can do something
to
about
do
that.
Something about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. All righty. Right. Anything else you can think of? Oh, yeah, we had another very high-profile person talking about possibly making a return to Marvel.
Oh?
Mr. Wesley Snipes.
Ah, yes. Yeah, and I guess if he came back, he would be he would be in the MCU now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that concerns me is that everybody at Marvel seems to have forgotten the fiasco that was the last Blade movie.
Yeah.
And how, I mean, not that it wasn't bad, just that how kind of crazy into the character he got.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seemed like he was not an easy person to work with on that film. But at the same time, and it's, you know, it sort of gets back to something that we've talked about before and that I think we can touch on later. You know, when you've got these stars like Robert Downey Jr. getting older, obviously mm-hmm. I think he's still perfectly fine playing Iron Man, but because that just of the kind of character it is. But you know, Blade is supposed to be, you know, not fully
right.
human, and Wesley Snipes doesn't look the same way he did 20 years ago.
He doesn't look too far off from
him,
but he
bad.
Does look older. Yes.
Yeah, he certainly looks older. So, I mean, I know there was some discussion on our group about this, but you know, some people are like, well, we should bring him back because if we're going to bring back Blade, it should be with him because he was the original mm-hmm. and stuff. But you know, no one's asking to bring back Adam West for Batman. You know, it's like,
well, there is many years difference between Wesley Snipes and Blade and
well,
Adam
fair
West
enough. But still, I mean, you know, for that matter, you know, we recast Batman every 5 years. You know, it doesn't seem right. to me like you know, and the Fantastic Four and all kinds of other things too. So
it
to me
done, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, just saying, oh, well, he was the original, so therefore he should, you know, have dibs on it, that doesn't really fly with me, and it just seems like he was such an erratic, difficult person to work with that I'm not sure.
At one point, like, David Goyer felt threatened, like, physically threatened by Snipes.
Yeah.
And the story goes that he roped in a bunch of bikers that he met at a bar to come and act as kind of like, pretend to be like his bodyguards one day on set, and apparently that spooked Snipes so much he hardly came out of his trailer except to film scenes.
Wow.
And he would just communicate from then on with David Goyer by post-it note, and he would always sign the post-it notes Blade.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm all for getting into character and everything, but, you know, I would love to see more Blade movies. I would love to see that get folded into the MCU. And as I understand it, that does fall within what they have the rights to now, right?
Yes, Blade is certainly one of the things they got the rights back to. And it would be nice to see Blade come back in some capacity, seeing as that is really the film that kicked off this whole genre. Mm-hmm. And its success in, you know, the last couple decades started with Blade, then it went to X-Men, then Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and it just steamrolled.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we'd had Batman and Superman before that, but Blade was, I think, the first time that,
right,
you know, we had a movie with a superhero that a lot of people had never heard of. And, what you know, they were still able to make a very successful movie out of it, even though it wasn't, you know,
yep,
Batman or Superman or Spider-Man.
And it's one of Ryan Reynolds' many superhero roles that he's mm-hmm. taken on in the mm-hmm. last several years. And speaking of which, you know, we got a lot of, I mean, even though it's not MCU, we still mm-hmm. got a lot of X-Men news, and Deadpool, mm-hmm. especially. They leaked the trailer for Deadpool, and it
leaked,
looks,
quote unquote, you know, it's, they leaked.
Well,
it was
clearly somebody shooting it with their camera,
right,
from the audience, but it was absolutely hilarious, and I think it's going to work as an R-rated movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to restore my faith in Ryan Reynolds after the disastrous Green Lantern film.
let's hope so.
I mean, I think even Ryan feels bad about Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, there are so many things that go into making a movie good, and they're not all in the hands of the actor or the writer or the director. You know, it's even if you do your best job on a movie sometimes and think it's going to be great, you know, you never know once it's out of your hands what's going to happen to it.
Oh, and of course, you know, we got, with X-Men Apocalypse,
mm-hmm.
we got that first trailer as well. That also got leaked courtesy of a member of the audience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it looks great. I really want to see more of Apocalypse. We get a little bit of Apocalypse,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like, is it Oscar Isaacs is his name?
I'm not sure.
Well, Oscar looks phenomenal. He looks creepy,
mm-hmm.
and a seriously good villain. So I'm definitely looking forward to both of those films next year, and although I'm still hoping that Fantastic Four tanks and the rights will go back.
right, exactly. I feel bad for hoping it tanks, and yet I still do hope it tanks.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, not for any of the actors. I mean,
oh, no,
they're all
course.
Lovely people, but
they've all been paid. You know, it's like you guys got paid,
and that's fine. Please don't make a second one.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Wait for this plane to go overhead.
And you, did you want to talk about the rumor?
Which rumor?
The,
I guess, yes.
X-Men MCU rumor?
Sure. I mean, the only thing is, that rumor goes around a lot.
Yeah. It's the latest incarnation.
What is the basis for it this time? Honestly, I saw that it was out there, but kind of went, eh.
It's basically that kind of the current plans mm-hmm. for both universes are almost coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, you have on like Sony's or Fox's side,
mm-hmm.
Bryan Singer is saying that Apocalypse is going to be his last film,
mm-hmm.
his last X-Men film. Hugh Jackman said that Wolverine is going to be his last X-Men film.
Yeah, but after Apocalypse, they're saying he's going to do an Old Man Logan film, right?
Well, that's the rumor that his next Wolverine movie is going to be is going to reference Old Man Logan, or at least or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But after that movie is over, he says he's done. After Apocalypse, Singer says he's done. Jennifer Lawrence says she's done. I think Nicholas Holt said he was done, and I think James McAvoy said he was done as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's half the cast for the X-Men films right then and there.
Right. Yeah, it's most of the cast other than Magneto of the big ones.
And on the other side, you know, we haven't really heard about anything past Phase 3.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think there's any stopping the MCU at this point until the films start, you know, going not as, you know, not bringing in the audiences.
So it seems like that's currently the basis for these rumors, is that these the current plans for these universes are coming to an end. So, you know, why not have them merge, or why not have them at least cross over a bit?
Oh yeah, creatively it certainly makes sense, but you know, I don't think that the creative issue has ever been, you know, what was standing in the way. It's who owns the rights. You know, do these people want to give it up or not?
And Fox seems to have no inclination to get along with Marvel Studios and vice versa.
Right. Although a year ago we would have said that about Sony, and now look at what we've got with Spidey. So
that's true. So you know, anything's possible, true believers.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and as far as saying there's nothing announced past Phase 3, I mean, that's how far out does Phase 3 go? Are we talking like 2018, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of movies between now and then. So I don't think. You know, and when Avengers was coming out, when we were coming to the end of Phase 1, we hadn't heard anything about there being, like, Black Panther or Captain Marvel or anything like that. So,
yeah.
I don't think just because, you know, we have another phase that's going to wrap up in 3 or 4 years, that necessarily means anything's coming to an end. But
of course not.
All right, well, I guess we will take a very quick break, and when we come back, since we've already kind of started talking about it, we'll be looking at Phase 2 and moving into Phase 3 of the MCU.
Hi, this is Siri. I would never, never, ever listen to the Earth Station 1 podcast. Who the heck says howdy anyway? Why don't you listen to Chris Hardwick instead? I can get you his information. The Nerdist is everywhere anyway, haha. That was a joke. The Earth Station 1 podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstation1.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
Welcome back, and now we're going to be talking about, since Ant-Man's about to come out, we figured it was a good time to kind of look at where we've been and where we're going. And since Marvel divides these things up into phases, you know, we had Phase 1, which introduced sort of all the characters that would go on to be the focus of the first Avengers movie, and Phase 2 was a lot of sequels, but then we also got Guardians of the Galaxy. And then in Phase 3, we're going to be introducing a whole bunch of new characters. So, So with Phase 2, what do you think the highlights and lowlights of that were for you?
Well, obviously, I think my favorite film so far, Phase 3, has been Age of Ultron. Probably the weakest one was Thor: The Dark World.
Yeah.
And I say that lovingly because I still love Thor: The Dark World. It's just, you know, they essentially, to fit in more Loki, they reduced Chris Eccleston down to a two-dimensional character.
Yeah, and that's...
evil and I want to use the ether to destroy the universe and reduce everything back to darkness.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that one. I thought, you know, I loved the first Thor movie. And it's not that I disliked Thor: The Dark World. It's just that I didn't think that, you know, what we had was okay, but it just seemed like there was You know, so that was sort of the first Marvel movie where you could kind of see the cracks behind the scenes of the rewrites and the changes that went on as a result of other things going on. Because my guess is Loki probably was not a major part of that prior to the Avengers.
Right.
And then, you know, as you said, to fit in more Loki, they had to cut back on the actual story of the film.
And we've seen, like, since it came out and since Alan Taylor is no longer working in the MCU, he's had a few choice things to say about the way they kind of tell directors what to do and what to include.
Right.
Which is, on the one end, you know, the bad thing is, well, we're not letting them be as creative and expressive as they can be. On the other hand, it is keeping within this shared universe.
Right. That's how everything is connected. You know, that's you know, making sure that these all work as a whole. But I'm pretty sure a lot of the Loki stuff that was put in was actually written by Joss Whedon, or at least that's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah, it was written by Joss Whedon. I think he might have even directed some of those scenes.
So yeah, I mean, and of course, ironically enough, you've got, you know, Joss Whedon going into somebody else's film and making changes there, and then, you know, as we've discussed at length with Age of Ultron, you know, he had his own problems with the studio, with them saying, no, we need to seed the Thor plot line and the Infinity Stones, you know, at the expense of some of the stuff that he wanted to keep.
And we've even seen that going into Ant-Man with Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish originally being the script writers and with Wright directing, and then those creative differences, because, you know, Ant-Man was years in the making. I mean, even going back to Iron Man, it was supposed to be in Phase 1.
Wow, I didn't realize it went that far back. Wow.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Phase 1, and he was supposed to start working on it after he finished Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, wow, and then he went on to do The World's End instead, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and by the time he gets back around to working on it, he and Marvel start having creative differences because the MCU has built itself up so much.
Right.
And Marvel wants to throw in things like the Avengers, S.H.I.E.L.D., all these other references, and that's essentially what caused Wright to leave.
Yeah.
But it ends up working out because, you know, that script gets passed on to,
Paul Rudd did a lot of the rewriting. Yeah,
Paul Rudd and Adam McKay worked on a lot of it. And, you know, then we get Peyton Reed to come in as the new director. Mm-hmm. And these guys, it's not like they got a hold of the script and said, oh, we're going to do completely new things. Like, if you read the interviews with them, it's like, yeah, we kept in a lot of what Edgar and Joe did.
Right. Which is good. And I will say, you know, so far, the people that I know that have seen it, I've heard some people say that they sort of went into it the same way they went into Guardians, in terms of going, oh man, this is going to be so stupid, and came out much like the same way they came out of Guardians, going, oh my God, that was awesome.
And, you know, I've been in Ant-Man's corner since the beginning, and I knew that's what's going to happen. People are skeptical of this. I mean, if I look on Fandango right now, reserved seating for Thursday night, maybe has 10 people max.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's going to be one of those things where people are going to go into it skeptical and come out fans of Ant-Man.
That's certainly what I'm hoping.
Ant fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll call them Ant fans.
Like pimp particles and
everything. Yes.
I'm certainly hoping that it's going to be fantastic. It's not getting stellar reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but we got all next week to deal with that. Exactly. So getting back to sort of highlights and lowlights for me, I totally agree with you on Thor: The Dark World. I think, you know, it was, you know, it's sort of like pizza. You know, even when it's bad, it's still pretty good. But I thought Thor was the low point for me. I gotta put Winter Soldier actually above Age of Ultron, personally.
Some people do. You know, I I'll let that go with my friend Dustin because, of course, he's a big Captain America fan. Fair enough. So I just, you know, like, okay, you can have Captain America or Winter Soldier, as he puts it, Captain America, the world, the Winter Soldier, and the greatest achievement known to mankind.
Sure, sure, exactly. Well, you know, and for me, though, it's the Winter Soldier was, it had mm-hmm. what we didn't have in, like, Thor and Avengers. It at least didn't look like there was a lot of rewrites and a lot of changes in direction and a lot of, you know, creative conflict behind the scenes. It was very tightly plotted. It was very, it was just as... I love that they're taking like almost different genres within the superhero genre, and that was like a spy movie almost. Yep.
And nobody died unnecessarily.
Yes, yes, good point. Good point.
I'm looking at you, Joss.
Yes, exactly.
But if he was on social media right now, I'm sure he'd feel the biting sting of that comment.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure that's while he's at Comic-Con, that's exactly what he's thinking about. But,
I love you, though, buddy.
but anywho.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, that's these are the guys who are taking over. You know, the Russos, they're doing Captain America Civil mm-hmm. War. They're going to do Infinity War Parts 1 and 2.
Yep.
So the universe is now in their hands, and they're the ones who scripted and crafted Winter Soldier.
Exactly. And that's, for Phase 1, I don't think there was a single, like, creative direction person. They were kind of all their own films. When we got into Phase 2, you did see Joss Whedon having, you know, more of a hand in things.
Yes.
You know, even I think Thor was probably the one that he went in and monkeyed around with the most. But, you know, obviously he was behind the launch of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a TV show.
Right.
And he was kind of the creative, you know, shepherd behind that. So, mm-hmm. What do you see the Russos doing? Do you think that they're going to be more hands-off? Do you think they're going to, you know, be pushing the integration more?
You know, I don't know so much that it's the directors pushing the integration as it is the studio and Feige. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll see that continue, and we saw that almost it's kind of what ended up driving off Ava DuVernay from Black Panther.
Oh, is that? I didn't know there was a specific reasoning behind that.
That was kind of it seemed like. From interviews, that's what mm-hmm. she was citing, is that they wanted a lot of creative control.
Right, right. Yeah, and unfortunately, that's the trade-off. You know, you get mm-hmm. to work on these big marquee products that are going to be like, you know, the biggest mm-hmm. among the biggest movies of the year, and you're playing in somebody else's sandbox. You don't have complete control over it.
You know, one of the things I loved, especially about this phase, is we see so many great actors, some of these great classic actors of our generation come in to play roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example
Robert Redford. You know,
Robert Redford, yeah.
Exactly, in Winter Soldier.
Yes, and why isn't Robert Redford working more is my question.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made a couple of great films in the last few years. And
well, I guess when you're at that point, you can be very, you know, you can pick and choose the stuff that you want to do.
And, of course, now we've got Michael Douglas.
Yep, absolutely. Coming in for, I'm really looking forward to the flashbacks where they like, digitally, you know, de-age him and make him look like he did in the 70s or something. That will be a lot of
like
fun.
Like back in Wall Street days.
Right, exactly.
And you know, he was asked at Comic-Con who he would want to see play Janet Van Dyne. You mm-hmm. know his suggestion was?
No.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Ooh! Of course.
Which, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, give your wife a job.
You know, but she would not be a bad choice necessarily.
No, that was one of the things, like, after I sat back and thought about it for a minute, I was like, yeah, she really could pull off Janet.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool.
So do it, Marvel.
Yeah.
You saved Paul Bettany's career. I think you can save Catherine Zeta-Jones's.
Hey, Paul Bettany was doing okay.
And I think we discussed this in our Age of Ultron review. Mm-hmm. He had just come out of a meeting with a producer who said he was never going to work in Hollywood again.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, wow. And he was sitting on the curb, you know, kind of head in his hands when Joss Whedon called him and asked him to be in Age of Ultron.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I would assume that he figured that he was probably going to be in Age of Ultron, but not necessarily that it was going to be a Vision. Before
yeah, he didn't know he was actually going to have to play a role.
Going to have to actually show up and like be there in makeup and everything with all the other the other people. Let's see what else we got.
Themes, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think a lot of what we were seeing, at least with the sequels, and I think this is kind of the nature of sequels, but there was certainly a sense of consequences, yes, of there being, you know, the things that have happened in other films, and that's part of the whole integration, mm-hmm, you know, do impact things. I think that the fact that Tony had PTSD coming out of the Avengers movie, mm-hmm, that's brilliant, actually. That's something that you don't ever really see addressed. You may in the comics, but I've never really seen that dealt with in a superhero movie before. The fact that these people have pretty freaking horrific things happen to them, and you know, we saw the fallout of that.
I mean, because that carried right over into Age of Ultron, with Tony realizing that there's a much bigger, more dangerous world out there just waiting to come to Earth and bring this problem to our doorstep.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I go on and on about, you know, the birth of a supervillain with him, but yeah, that's kind of, you know, how things started going in that direction. He realized, mm-hmm, I can't just be one guy in a suit and save the world every time. It needs to be something bigger. And that's how he has, you know, started moving towards his, you know, we got to win at all costs. So that was fantastic. Even though Iron Man 3 was not a lot of people's favorite movie, I liked. I could have done without the stuff with the kid. I thought that it was, you know, a lot of people didn't like the fact that there was not a lot of Iron Man in it. It was mostly Tony. But
You know, there was somebody pointed out to me through a picture of all, mm-hmm, of these people who were in Jurassic World, who had been in different Marvel films.
Yes, yes.
And the two brothers in Jurassic World, the younger one is the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yes, yes, I saw that. That's pretty cool. You know, it had Wilson Fisk in there, not to mention Star-Lord and everything. So
yeah, and one of my friends commented, well, what about Judy Greer? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, that makes sense, even though Ant-Man hasn't come out yet.
True.
She's the mom at the, mm-hmm, beginning, mm-hmm, and she is Ant-Man's ex-wife at the beginning of that film.
Right, right. Good point, yeah. But, so we had consequences, you know, when we, mm-hmm, had, obviously, Thor, even though Thor is kind of off in his own world, literally, you know, there was certainly, you know, Jane was in it. There was, you know, dealing with the stuff with Loki and everything.
Yes.
And then Winter Soldier, you know, obviously, mm-hmm, that's something where, you know, And it's interesting how they kind of, with that, and then certainly with Civil War, those have been almost, you know, they're team-up movies more than you see with, you know, other ones. Like, Iron Man 3 didn't have another one of the Avengers as a main character. You, mm-hmm, know, same thing with Thor.
Well, kind of, but he wasn't an Avenger yet.
Exactly. Yeah. He was still War Machine.
Still War Machine. Well, right. Iron Patriot.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, in that you had Fury was in it a lot, and obviously Black Widow was, mm-hmm, was a major part of it, as well as introducing Falcon.
Yes.
So, you know, that one was again clearly something that was building on other stuff, and of course, you know, that was the timing of the way they put that together with S.H.I.E.L.D. was, on the one hand, it's unfortunate because it meant that S.H.I.E.L.D. had to tread water for almost, you know, 2/3 of a season before they could actually do something cool.
Because, I mean, even the tie-ins that we get for Iron Man 3 and Thor the Dark World.
Well, the Thor one was weak. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, at least Iron Man 3, you know, he gave us something to start the series off with.
Sure.
Centipede.
Right.
But the thing I noticed is kind of an overarching theme, mm-hmm, just about all the Phase 3 movies except for Guardians.
Phase 2.
Mm-hmm. Phase 2, sorry. Mm-hmm. The Phase 2 movies except for Guardians was kind of tearing down the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
you know, obviously in Iron Man 3, you know, Tony's realization about the universe beyond Earth and it's dangerous. It tears down kind of his universe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we also see, and we see that happen not just figuratively, but with his understanding, his realization, but also literally with, you know, the Mandarin coming after him.
Right. Right. And, it becoming, you know, tearing, personal. Yep.
Yeah. And tearing, hurting Happy, tearing down his Malibu mansion.
Yep.
Tony, you know, willingly destroying a whole bunch of his armors.
Yeah, temporarily.
carries into Thor the Dark World with, you know, Malekith coming to kind of tear down universes and bring back the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
How he kills Frigga, takes you know, her away from Thor.
Mm-hmm.
How he believes that Loki's been taken away from
right.
him as well. And then you move into Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Where we've got the destruction of S.H.I.E.L.D. Which
yeah,
has been
all of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes crashing down.
You know, the backbone of, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. was there from the first Iron movie on, Iron Man movie on.
And,
so, you know, that was obviously huge.
Yeah, and what happens to Bucky as well, you know, the good memories of your friend, now your friend is your enemy.
Exactly, exactly. Of course, mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy, I guess, is kind of the opposite of that, because that was very much world building and expanding.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it certainly bucks the trend from the others.
Yeah. But I think that's, you know, it's also partly the difference between a sequel and something that's launching a new property too.
Right. And who knows if we'll see that in phase three with, you know, Civil War and Ragnarok
mm-hmm.
kind of having more of a theme, while Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
Inhumans, and all those films, like, create
new
universes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like with Guardians.
Right, right, exactly. So how about does somebody really lose an arm in every Phase 2 thing?
I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to mention that, but it seems like they all pull kind of an Empire Strikes Back reference.
Exactly. You know, the second part of the trilogy kind of thing.
Because, like, the Mandarin loses his arm in the final battle with
mm-hmm.
Tony.
Absolutely.
Thor loses his as part of the illusion.
The illusion, right. That's true. That
they're
Loki
trying
does.
To sell Malekith.
And you've also got Pepper having her arm getting all extremisified,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, and of course Bucky has lost his arm,
right?
As part of becoming the Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm.
I think Groot loses his at one point.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask what that was.
I'm pretty sure Ultron loses his at some point.
Right. Right.
And of course
Coulson.
Coulson loses his at the end, and
mm-hmm.
I tried emailing Ann after the season 3 poster came out. I was
mm-hmm.
like, "Hey, is that a black glove he's wearing?" And no response.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Darn these gag orders."
Yep, absolutely. But was there? And I think there was something in Daredevil too. Wasn't there somebody who got their arm chopped off or the hand chopped off in Daredevil?
Yeah, I think so. I think it might have been Nobu.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
So yeah, just about everything in Phase 2 has caused somebody to lose.
I don't recall anything from Agent Carter, though. Was there?
I don't know.
Let us know, fans. If you recall if anyone lost a hand in Agent Carter, let us know. But yeah, pretty much everything else. So that's a nice, you know, a nice little homage to
mm-hmm.
the middle movie of the only Star
well,
Wars
no,
trilogy.
It wasn't Ultron who lost his arm. It was Claw.
Oh, of course, right.
Yeah,
right.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, absolutely. So that's certainly cool. You know, I don't know if they're going to have a little, you know, thematic thing like that that's going to go through Phase 3, but it would certainly be neat.
I just would like to see the line "Laugh it up, Fuzzball" appear in everything.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Although there could be, I have a bad feeling about this. But that's
kind of
that's kind of easy enough to weave into pretty much anything, and it's also very
and Star Wars does specific, on a yes. fairly regular basis, oh, no yeah. matter whether it's the cartoon shows, the movies, the yep. books, the comics, whatever.
Yep. All right, so you know, we've also, you know, in as we move into phase three, if we think of Ant-Man as the, you know, mm-hmm. as the dividing point, then the new Netflix series, Everything Except for Daredevil, is going to be coming in as part of phase three as well, and those are yep. also introducing new characters too.
Yes, indeed. I mean, we've already seen from Jessica Jones, we know we're getting Luke Cage is mm-hmm. coming in. Patsy Walker, the Purple Man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, three major parts of the or kind of the street level Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in addition, of course, in Daredevil season two, you know, with Bullseye, the Punisher, and Elektra.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Iron Fist,
and not to mention, you've got Claire who carries over from Daredevil. I don't right. know if she's for sure going to be in Jessica Jones, but presumably she'll end up being in Luke Cage because
yes.
that's a couple thing, at least in the comics.
Right. And, of course, her character is not only Claire Temple, but also the Night Nurse.
Right, right, exactly. They're kind of a combination of it.
Yep.
So, in addition, though, to all the stuff that is introducing new characters in Phase 3, we've got some team-ups, some pretty big ones. You know, obviously, Civil War is going to be huge mm-hmm. in terms of lots of people coming together.
Yep, and Avengers 2.5.
Yep, Avengers 2.5. And then Infinity War, if it's to be believed, by the time we get to Infinity War 2, mm-hmm. they're bringing in everybody.
get me everyone!
Exactly, everyone! But, you know, when one of the things I thought was so brilliant about the first Avengers movie is that Whedon was able to take these, you know, five or six characters that all were very strong in their own right and make a good team movie where everybody kind of got to have their own moment and everything. And I didn't feel like that was quite as successful with Age of Ultron. It was still good, mm-hmm. but you know, it was very Hawkeye heavy for the most part, and you know, it didn't. We're getting to the point where it's hard to work in all of those characters, and,
right.
and a lot of people just kind of showed up for the final helicarrier battle, and that was kind of it.
Hey, you know, I liked my little helicarrier technician guy coming back.
Yes, right? Yes, absolutely. I'm a fan of that. But so Civil War is going to be interesting to see how much, you know, these other people that show up are just going to be doing basically cameos. You know, if you think about Baron Zemo is supposed to be the bad guy of that film, but mm-hmm. according to everything I've heard, he only just got to set here in Atlanta like this week. You know,
yeah,
so
I've been seeing the pictures of Daniel Brühl walking around.
Right.
And
so
we haven't even seen him in costume yet or whatever his deal is.
Exactly. And they've been filming here for like 2 months. So, mm-hmm. you know, It, we don't know at this point. We're just speculating. But I think the more characters you bring in, the harder it gets to allow everybody to have their own cool
right.
moments. And, you know, by the time
this seems to be the only one of the, like, Phase 3, like, solo hero movies that's doing that.
Yes, except that Infinity War. There's going to
yeah.
be two team-ups there as well.
Well, yeah, but that's because, you know, that's an Avengers movie. It's supposed to be a team-up.
Sure, sure. But, you know, I'll be interested to see, you know, that I think they did a great job with Avengers, an okay job with Age of Ultron, but as they get more and more people in there, it's harder and harder to give everybody their own cool moment. Another thing that has been brought up, of course, is that, now does Robert Downey Jr. have anything on his contract past Civil War? I don't think he does.
I think he's tied in for the Infinity War movies.
Oh, is he?
But
okay.
Don't quote me on that. I don't know about anything afterwards. I think just about everybody's contract right now runs through Infinity War,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know anything beyond that. I mean, we know that's certainly the case for Chris Evans, so we
mm-hmm.
can imagine that's true for everyone else as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people have speculated that it may be getting to be time to recast somebody else as Iron Man. You know, personally, I'm against that. I think that Downey is still great as an action figure. I mean, it's not like he's Harrison Ford, and yet Harrison Ford can still be an action figure too. You know, what do you think with, you know, it's one thing to recast Rhodey, you know, which they did, and a lot of people, it seems like, didn't even really notice. But, you know, within the MCU, it's, you know, we've been going for 10 years now, and I think Rhodey's really the only significant part that's ever been recast, right? Maybe wrong?
I think you're forgetting one. Very, very big one. A very big and green one.
Oh, true. Yes, you're right, Hulk. Good point.
And Marvel will replace somebody if they're not going to play ball, as we've seen with Terrence Howard and with Ed Norton.
Yeah, it's a shame because I love Terrence Howard. I thought he was great, but you know, I would be.
But he's got Empire now, so he's doing all right.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Absolutely. I'll be interested to see what they do if they. I would personally rather see, you know, passing the mantle to a new character who puts on the armor as opposed to having a new Tony Stark, personally. But
I mean, it's not like there isn't precedence for it, because obviously Rhodey has worn the Iron Man armor in the comics before for Tony.
I don't really see Pepper. Gwyneth Paltrow necessarily signing on for a whole bunch more movies. But
she's gonna want money.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's a serious actress with a very big career outside of the Avengers. But
and that's another thing about Marvel is they're very what's the right way to phrase this? Conservative with their spending.
Well, they are and they aren't. I mean, they've dumped what did Downey get for Age of Ultron? $80 million, I think.
Yeah.
And not only that, he put his foot down and said, no, I want everybody else to get a raise too. You know, so...
That's true, but at what point does that influence run out?
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I think as long as... I hope they keep him around. But, you know, obviously, if we keep to anything resembling the comics, Steve Rogers is eventually going to die and pass on the mantle to, presumably, Bucky.
Yeah, Bucky or even as is currently Sam.
Yeah, very, very possibly. That could certainly work. We've got a whole new team of Avengers now. So that's certainly another way of doing it. But I think we're gonna probably stick with our same cast, most likely, at least through the end of Phase 3. And then they may do some shuffling up and recasting after that.
Yeah, we'll see. Like we said before, you know, as far as we know, after Infinity Wars, it can be a whole new ball game if Marvel wants it to be.
Exactly. That's definitely a storyline that can hit the reset button, pretty much on the entire galaxy. So, all right. Anything else you can think of?
Not really. I mean, if one of you out there has managed to score a "I Was Born Yesterday" Vision shirt at SDCC, I wear a large.
excellent.
Other than that,
excellent. Alrighty, well, we're gonna have our schedule has been thrown off a little bit this summer, but we will be coming out with a new episode again within a week of this one, because we have Ant-Man coming up this weekend.
Yep.
And
heroes don't get any bigger.
Yep, absolutely. I'm very sad I don't get to see it on Thursday because I can't find a midnight showing, and unfortunately that is dress rehearsal for my show. So I will probably be having to wait until midnight showing on Friday.
You know, Regal has a special thing for the IMAX showings this week. They have special Ant-Man tickets for the first 300 people at each of their theaters.
Yeah, but I did 3D for Age of Ultron, and I'm not going there again, I don't think.
I have to do these IMAX 3D for the first time, and then I can go back and just watch it in a regular movie screen afterwards.
All right. Well, I'll think about it. But all right, so we will be seeing you folks in just about a week, and then after that, we will go to our slightly less frequent schedule again, up until when we have S.H.I.E.L.D. come back in the fall. So we will see you soon.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.